What's going on, y'all? 97.5, the Fanatic, broadcasting from the Xfinity studio, only from Comcast. 8 o'clock on a Monday night, a reaction Monday night following the Philadelphia Eagles' week number 2 game against the Los Angeles Rams. They took the L, fall to 0-2 on the season, losing yesterday afternoon, 37-19. We'll get all into that as we go until 10 o'clock tonight. Great again to hear from Inside the Birds Radio with Jeff Mosher and Adam Kaplan. Always a great listen, so make sure on Mondays, 6 to 8, you check out the fellas as they break down the game so well as they always do. And, of course, Monday, Wednesdays, and Fridays, you can check out their podcast on all podcasting platforms out there. But it is 8 o'clock. So at 8 o'clock, you know what it is. It's almost time to play the Fanatic Football Pool presented by Parks Casino and Sportsbook. So before we get to the birds and anything else, I see we already have calls and wants to talk some hoops and all as well. Call the contest line right now, 215-263-0975. Be the fifth caller, and you will win $100 cash from Parks Casino and Sportsbook. Then we'll ask you a simple football trivia question. If you get it right, we'll put you in the grand prize drawing to win the Fanatic Football Pool and everything in it, like a physique round barbecue and fire pit kit from Landis Block, talking teddy bear from the movie Ted 2, Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 1 and 2 for PS4, a four-year supply of snacks from Hers Snack Foods, Jamie Lynch's James Thrash bobblehead doll, and $1,000 cash from Parks Casino and Sportsbook. Some new things added to the prize pool as well, which would be Peter LaViolette autographed mini helmet, The Godfather trivia game. Just two things added to the football-shaped kid baby-sized pool, and is filling it with cash and prizes. So if you are the fifth caller, again, we will get you up here. We're adding prizes all the time. The Fanatic Football Pool is presented by Parks Casino and Sportsbook, Pennsylvania's number one casino. So call the contest line right now, 215-263-0975. And before we get to that, again, just to set things up for what we're doing, you know how we do it on a Monday night or a day after the Philadelphia Eagles football game. Win or loss, we react. And we have a lot to react to. I listened all day, obviously listening to the Inside the Birds radio portion here as from 6 to 8, the radio show. And they got into a lot of things that we are going to get into as well. So they make it easy for me to follow them with what they do here from 6 to 8. So we have plenty to talk about, from Carson Wentz to the defense to the head coach. We'll get to some of the audio from his media availability via Zoom today. We will talk about the running back situation with Miles Sanders coming back, right? We'll talk about Jalen Hurts suiting up in week number 2 as the backup quarterback to Carson Wentz, and them simply falling to 0-2, and how you all feel about where your football team is currently standing right now in the NFC, in the NFC East, after you get that terrible win. By the Dallas Cowboys over the Atlanta Falcons. So, a lot to get into. Let's give out the numbers immediately, all right? 610-632-0975. 610-632-0975. Guys, you can load up the phones already because you know where we're going. It's a reaction Monday. We have 2 hours. We're going until 10 o'clock. So, we're going to give you guys every opportunity to get everything off your chest with this football team, because there is a lot. Cincinnati next week, and they come in with Joe Burrow in that offense. Fantastic. They looked on Thursday night against Cleveland. Even in a loss, they look really good. They look good in week number 1 against the Chargers team that took the Kansas City Chiefs to overtime yesterday, even though they lost. So, hey, Cincinnati's going to be a tough out next Sunday. So the Birds better be ready, because that rookie does not look scared. All right? 610-632-0975 to talk to Birds. And right now it is time to play the contest pool trivia game here, right here on 97.5, The Fanatic. So let's bring up...
This is The Fanatic Football Pool.
That's right. Anytime you hear that great 70s music, the theme music. You know what time it is. It's time to play the Fanatic Football Pool Trivia. And right now, already on the line, on the contest line, we bring in our fifth caller, who is Kyle from Northeast Philadelphia. Kyle, how you doing, Kyle?
Hey, Devon, it's KP. What's going on,
What's going on, KP? How you feeling, man?
I'm feeling great, man. Just won $100.
That's right. That's right. You are the fifth caller. You already won $100 from Parks Casino and Sportsbook. So now, KP, I'm going to ask you a simple football trivia question. If you get the answer correct, you will be put in the drawing to win the grand prize of the Fanatic Football Pool and everything in it. You ready?
I'm ready. I want that James Flash bobblehead.
All right, well, here is today's question for you, KP. DeSean Jackson was selected by the Philadelphia Eagles in what round of the 2008 NFL Draft, KP?
I'm gonna go with the third round.
Oh, KP, that is not correct, my man. He was selected in the second round that year. Yeah, remember, he dropped to the second round. There were some concerns about his behavior and stuff coming out of Cal. Yeah, the whole deal. Remember when Andy Reid had to talk to him about his dad? Ooh, you don't want to.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
Dude, I was only about, like, maybe 12 at that time.
Okay,
so,
yeah.
You know,
well,
I was going to go with the second round, but I should have won my first guess, man, but it's all good.
That's all right, man. Sorry, that is incorrect, but you are still the winner of $100 from Parks Casino and Sportsbook, KP, and the Fanatic Football Pool is presented by Parks Casino and Sportsbook, Pennsylvania's number one casino. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. KP, spend that $100 right, man.
Yeah, let's go.
You got it, man. Well, listen, hang on. Tyler's going to get your information. Have a great night, man, and congratulations again on the $100, man. We'll talk to you soon, KP. That's just that easy, folks. It's just that easy. Easy question. KP said he was going to go with his first instinct, which would have been the second round for DeSean Jackson in that particular draft, which was, again, in 2008, dropped to the second round. I think, well, who was that in the first one? Was that Trevor Laws? I don't remember. No, might have been. I don't remember exactly. Was it Trevor Laws? I had to look at the 2008 NFL draft for the Birds. But anyway, KP won $100 for being a fifth caller. We would do that every night at 8 p.m. right here on 97.5, The Fanatic. So just to fill people in who are new and not familiar with the football, Fanatic Football Pool, which is underway and again presented by Parks Casino and Sportsbook. We got a football field shaped baby pool. We're filling it with cash and prizes. You listen four times a day. So not just at 8 p.m. with us, 8 a.m., noon, 4 p.m. and 8 p.m. be the fifth caller. You will win $100 in cash like KP just did from Parks Casino and Sportsbook. Then we'll ask that simple football trivia question. You get it right, we put you in a grand prize drawing to win the Fanatic Football Pool and everything in it. We just gave you all the prizes. We're adding them all the time. The Fanatic Football Pool is presented by Parks Casino and Sportsbook, Pennsylvania's number one casino. Must be 21. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. All right? All right. So congratulations again to KP. And now it is time to get to the football game yesterday. And Jeff checks in with me on Twitter quickly. Jeff listening from inside the Birds and says, yes, Trevor Laws. I knew I was right. Thanks, man. Appreciate it, Jeff. And Trevor Laws was selected first, and then that was DeSean Jackson following him in the second round of the draft. All right, and actually picked ahead of him. If you remember, out of Notre Dame. Ah, DeSean Jackson. Still love DeSean. He had an all right day yesterday, even though they didn't find him until the second half in the third quarter when he seemingly caught everything, six catches for 64 yards. But they didn't do anything in the first half. But, hey, listen, following the Inside the Birds radio show here tonight, it's fantastic. They set me up perfectly for what we need to talk about. Catch them Monday, Wednesdays, and Fridays with their podcast dropping on Monday, Wednesdays, and Friday mornings. So make sure you check in with those two guys, Adam Kaplan and Jeff Pope Mosher. And right now, all right, we got to talk about this. 37-19, they dropped that one yesterday to the Rams. I have to admit, again, when the interception happened, we talked a lot about that guy, J.J. Arcega-Whiteside, quite a bit today and tonight here on The Fanatic. And when that when that happened, when Carson Wentz gave the momentum back to Los Angeles, I'm not going to say they were going to win the game, but they needed that. Okay? Awful. Awful, awful, awful. They picked, first of all, they picked up a nice first down, right, with Deshaun, had another catch for on third and six. He had three catches in the third quarter, right? Next play, Wentz interception, end zone. Awful interception right there. He has to read that better. I don't even need to explain it because you just heard Birds inside the Birds radio. They broke it down perfectly of how everything went. He did not, he should not have tried to squeeze that one in there. Should not have. He could have gone a lot of different ways. Even if we wanted to simply say this, throw the ball out of the end zone. If you're going to throw it, you're going to throw it on the back end of the end zone where only J.J. Arcega-Whiteside has a play on the football. And if he doesn't get it, he doesn't get it. It's first down. And you continue to, you live on to play another down. And while he has thrown the ball, he had thrown the ball away a great deal yesterday. Improvement from what we saw from week number one. That one, he needed to be better. He needed to be better, right? He needed to be better. Had to be better on that one. Now, look, it wasn't all on him, but he wasn't good yesterday. The defense, they were not good yesterday. Giving up the 37 points to the Rams, it looked so easy yesterday. It looked like they were in rookie mode on Madden with Jared Goff and Sean McVay were able to do against Jim Schwartz and that defense yesterday where he went 20 of 27 for 267 yards, three scores, and a perfect quarterback rating. 13 consecutive completions to start the game off. Jared Goff. We've seen these two teams play, and while they've been really good games, this one really seemed like the Los Angeles Rams, even when the Birds started to come back, had a great feel for how the game was going, and they walked away with the victory on the road, 2-0, 37-19, a victory over the Philadelphia Eagles. Terrible performance. Miles Sanders looked very good in his return after the fumble. He had 20 carries overall for 95 yards. And the score, some catches as well out of the backfield, 3 for 36. Where's your football team right now? This team, the Philadelphia Eagles currently have the look of a 6-10 football team. That's where they are right now. That's how they look at this stage. There's so many different things that we can point out to that just look bad for this team right now. Why am I going to have confidence in this football team lining up against the Cincinnati Bengals, except for the fact that they are 0-2 next weekend back here in Philadelphia? Why am I going to sit there and have confidence in them to play the rookie-led offense with Joe Burrow and that football team when they've thrown out these two performances from against Washington and Los Angeles in week number one and week number two? Just awful performances from this football team. Can they improve and get better? Absolutely. They don't have anywhere else to go but up. They don't have anywhere else to go but up. But even if, when they win next week, it's going to make us feel a little bit better. But how much when you're looking at the San Francisco 49ers on the road? And I understand all the injuries that they sustained over the weekend. I get it. But it is still the Philadelphia Eagles on the road. So we're going to look at this one and say Kyle Shanahan is going to have a field day against this defense with the weapons that he does have out there in San Francisco. Then you have the Pittsburgh Steelers on the road. They're undefeated. How are you going to feel confident in that particular game as well? Baltimore, who looks tremendous right now, coming into Philadelphia. You know I love what they did in the offseason. There's no way I'm going to feel good about that one unless I see something much better in terms of their level of play going forward over these next weeks from 3, 4, and 5 leading into 6. But obviously you have to get the number 3 first and do something there to make us feel a little bit better. They cannot go 0-3. Yesterday was terrible with what they did out there on the field. It was awful. They were playing pitch and catch yesterday with their offense. Defensively, where were they? We gave them the praise. We gave them excuses for the performance that they put out there against Washington in week number one with the short field. They had long drives yesterday. They had long drives. They weren't sustaining things on the edges. All the misdirection plays that we want to see the Philadelphia Eagles incorporate into their offensive game plan. We saw it from the Rams yesterday, and it looked too easy. Too easy. Right? Darrell Henderson comes in on one play and busts out for a quick 28 yards. He only had two carries for 40 yards, but they were effective runs for them. Right? I'm sorry. 12 for 81. I'm looking at his receptions. His long was 40, and that one pretty much put the nail in the coffin for these guys, the Philadelphia Eagles, with that 40-yard run. Slay saved the touchdown to get to the 35-yard line, but Tyler Higbee was wide open on the next play, and he just made Nate Gary look like a slow linebacker for the Philadelphia Eagles, right? I don't even have to get cute with that one. He looked exactly what he was, a slow linebacker that had no idea what he was doing, could not keep up. It was so easy how he would release Tyler Higbee to get there. And once he realized, Nate Gary, what was going on, he was already beaten. And there was no help on the back end. It was done. So many things to point out. The head coach, all of that. Matter of fact, let's get to the cut that Tyler, to talk about the end zone interception. I thought this was interesting, and I heard the guys talk about it, Jeff and Adam. He said it was unacceptable, guys. Forget about me saying it was unacceptable. Let's hear Doug Peterson and the interception in the end zone to J.J. Arcega-Whiteside.
On that particular play, that one's unacceptable. That one is not part of the play. It's a backside progression, obviously, and it's unfortunate. It's I've got to do a better job offensively. We got to do a better job with plays of that nature, that we coach those a little bit better and the details of that particular route. It was a little bit of a new concept for us in the game plan this week, and we got to do a better job. But that one's unacceptable. Carson would say the same thing, and we've got to own that one.
They do have to own that one. They do. And guess what? They have to own this 0-2 record that they start off the Philadelphia Eagles football season with. And now we have to live with it. They have to live with it. They have to come out there and put out a better product on the football field going forward. But we react tonight with what we saw yesterday. And it was not good. Not good at all. I said it again. They have the look every bit of a 6-10 football team based on what we've seen so far. I had them at 9-7. And each week, of course, we're going to have to drop them down one based on what they did. And while I understand that means 7-9, they don't even look like a 7-9 football team. They might not even look like a 6-10 football team. I was texting with my cousin during the game, and I said the exact same thing. I'm like, they look like a 6-7 football team. He said, no, they look like every bit of a 3-13 football team right now with the way they're putting out their the product on the field. So, where are you? React to yesterday and what we saw. And it was good to hear Doug Peterson say exactly what needed to be said about Carson Wentz. No sugarcoating. No sugarcoating. Call it for what it was. Unacceptable for a fifth-year quarterback in the position that they were in, driving momentum on their side to turn the ball over in that spot. Unacceptable. Unacceptable. All right, guys, let's get your phone call. 610-632-0975, your reaction to yesterday's loss to the Los Angeles Rams, 37-19. The Birds are now 0-2 on the short season, but man, it doesn't even look promising. It's not like they had two close games where we say, all right, they'll get them next time. No, not only will it's tough to say that because they'll get them next time, and it's not that easy to say because of the performance that we've seen, it's because of what's upcoming as well. And it's not going to be easy against Cincinnati next week. Joe Burrow looks really good in his first two starts in the NFL for the Cincinnati Bengals. But react to yesterday, 37-19 loss to Los Angeles. 610-632-0975. Devon Givens with you until 10. An abbreviated show on this reaction Monday. Tyler Zuli producing. We are with you until 10. Let's start off on the phones in Cherry Hill with Mike tipping us off on this football reaction Monday right here on the Fanatic. Mike.
You should listen to your cousin, man. 6-10. I mean, I can understand you're going to beat the Giants twice. And then if you beat the Cincinnati Bengals, who cares about that? You outline that schedule. 3-13. The way they're playing is ridiculous. And I'm losing this money. And I'm betting all these games. Man, we look like the Falcons, man. And it's sad that we are Super Bowl team just a couple of years ago, and where did all that mojo go? This is top down, man. I mean, everybody has to take from the GM office to the coaches, the players. I mean, even the 97 staff. I mean, you have to take, I mean, everybody has to take credit for this loss. It's bad. And another thing is, we are prima donnas. We think we're better than we are, and teams are taking advantage of that. We're not as good as we think we are. We think we just won a Super Bowl a couple of days ago.
I agree.
And it's sad because when you're getting beat at home like this, it's embarrassing. And I think everybody needs to be held accountable, starting with the quarterback. Like you said, Devon's 5 years in the league, and you guys are throwing picks that look like you're a rookie. It's embarrassing. And I want people to be held accountable. I told Tyler that this needs to stop now. And who cares about beating up a Cincinnati team with a rookie quarterback? Nobody's going to give you credit.
Nope, that's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. And you know what, Mike? Already,
I agree with your cousin.
It just has the feel already of that game simply looking like, Mike, that it's going to be a shootout. And that guy's going to come out on top because they look much better offensively.
With that. And I'm upset because I need to be reimbursed for that C note that I lost to my uncle. Turn out of here.
Well, what's the matter with you, man? Why are you betting C notes with your uncle on this football team right now? Oh, man, Mike, thanks for the call, man. Why are you betting money on this football team right now? How can you? How can you? 610-632-0975. All right, that's how we get it started. Donald, Barrett, Gary, KP, Dylan, and one open phone line that was just vacated by our man in Cherry Hill, Mike, who was so hyped he couldn't even hear me. 610-632-0975. I'm sorry, Mike, that you lost that money to your uncle. You shouldn't have bet on the Philadelphia Eagles. That was bad right from the start, man. All right, so we'll get to the phones when we get right back. 610-632-0975. Devon Givens with you until 10, right here on The Fanatic.
Give me that phone. Devon Givens on 97.5, The Fanatic. The Fanatic.
831 97.5 The Fanatic. Devon Givens with you until 10 on a football Monday on The Fanatic, which is brought to you by Bryant Heating and Air Conditioning Contractors. Bryant Heating and Air Conditioning Contractors will do whatever it takes to keep you comfortable in every season with flexible financing options for every budget. To find a Pierce Phelps Bryant dealer near you, visit nopaybryant.com. On the phones, 610-632-0975. The Eagles are on all of our nerves after the performance yesterday against the Los Angeles Rams. They dropped one that was another. It was ugly, right? This is not a pretty thing with the football team right now. You heard Mike, the first caller, saying they are a 3-0 football team. That's the look that they have. I said 6-10, right? I said 6-10. Mike says no. Listen to your cousin. They are 3-13. Football team right now. That's what they look like. What do you guys think about the performance yesterday? 610-632-0975. And Don, before we get to you, I wanted you guys to hear Carson Wentz and what he had to say yesterday following the game about the loss, because I did not like, while I like Doug Peterson saying that interception was unacceptable, I did not like this from Carson Wentz.
I mean, we're obviously frustrated. You never want to start 0-2. You know, last week, the way we lost Washington and starting 0-1, obviously not what we want and not how we expect to finish ball games. And then today, coming out behind it again, not where you want to be, but we know that there's enough things through two games, offensively speaking, that we can put on the tape and know, all right, we're right there. We're just missing some things. We're right there. Don't panic. We'll be okay. And I've always had all the confidence in the world in our defense. You know, things happen, but we're not panicking. You know, we're excited to get back on.
All right, look, he is right, okay? You don't panic. I get it. But guess what? I'm tired of all of that speak. Now, he's not going to be the one that goes and starts to Marcus Smart and Jaylen Brown it and start ripping up the locker room. That's not him. I get it. But I don't want to hear that. I don't want to hear that. I'm tired of hearing, oh, you know, it's all good. No big deal. Well, we'll be fine. It's just a couple of things that we have to tweak in there. No, there are a lot of things that you have to tweak in there. And that's why I appreciated Doug Peterson on this particular one, where he's frustrated and saying that's unacceptable on that interception. Carson Wentz saying, and that's not time to panic. Okay, you're right. It's not time to panic. But don't tell us that. Don't tell us that. No, we need to get our crap together in that locker room, or we're going to be looking behind, up, looking up at everybody in the division, and we're going to have a long road to get to a winning record and a playoff spot in the NFL. I'm tired of it. I like Carson Wentz. You guys know that. I've been defending him like crazy for the last couple of weeks when everybody's coming at him. But I'm sick of hearing that same stuff about, oh, no, we're going to be okay. It's not a problem. And before you call in and say, Devon, well, what do you want him to say? I want him to say exactly what I just said. We need to clean this mess up. We stunk. We looked awful in weeks one and week number one and week number two. We need to be better. While it is not panic time, it sure is not pretty with what we put out there on the football field. I'm tired of hearing that type of speak. I'm tired of it. They stunk. They were awful. All right. I was looking at Ruben Frank on Twitter, and he put out what was the number that they gave up? How many points did they give up? Like, what did they give up? 27 and 37 already. So in two games, they gave up the 64 points, which were the most in two games so far. They gave up 452 yards yesterday, and Jared Goff was super clean. They didn't even have to wash his uniform after the game. This team stinks right now. 610-632-0975. And Tyler, let us know later on. You said it during the break. Let us know later on that tweet that you were talking about that was really stupid. Let's go back to the phones and go to Donald and Lance down here on the Fnac. What's up, Don?
All right, man. I want to make 3 points.
Please
number
do.
One,
yes.
J.J. Whiteside. Number two.
Yes, don't even give him both of his last names. Just J.J. Whiteside.
J.J. Whiteside. Corey Clement, and the rookies that are sitting. I want to make 3 points. Number one, Whiteside. The safety came underneath and intercepted the ball. Am I right?
Yes.
Okay. Does anybody know on that particular play, was there another wide receiver the Eagles were running downfield at the same time that J.J. went down the field?
There was probably someone on the left, and if not, there were at least the tight ends in the middle of the field that he probably had to pay attention to.
Did somebody else go long on that play? Because it seems as though Wentz, if somebody else was going long on the play, why would J.J. Whiteside be the number one receiver on that play when you're actually throwing possibly in a double coverage, and Wentz had to stare him down? Because first of all, if you're sending somebody else down the other side of the sideline, aren't you supposed to look the safety off to try and make the safety go to the other side of the field
right
before you throw it to Jay Whiteside? And then on top of that, why would you take a chance of throwing a deep ball to him when he didn't catch anything prior to that?
Well, listen, man, I'm looking at it right now.
Why is he a number one wide receiver on that play?
So it looked like there were two guys to the left, but he was the deep person on that post route, if you will. That
the
was
deeper one.
Yeah, and right underneath it, there were the tight ends. It's either Goddard or Zach
Ertz. The way the safety played it, he looked J.J. down, and the safety read Wentz.
Well, look, man, actually,
all right,
first of all, it wasn't the safety. It was the corner that was trailing him, and he just made a great diving play.
Exactly.
But I get it, man. And the fact that Carson Wentz simply looked at him.
The safety undercut the play. One of the defenders was behind.
It was the corner that was behind him. I'm looking at it right now. The corner was behind him. The safety was coming
right
on the help, but he wasn't faced. He wasn't facing the football. He was facing Arthega Whiteside, so he was coming in to make the hit or at least make a play. But the safety, I mean the corner, Don, undercut it. Thanks for the call, and made a diving catch to snatch that interception from J.J. Arthega Whiteside. And the other thing is, while he tried to fit it in there, I heard the guy say it inside the Birds Radio with Jeff and Adam, where he didn't even run a good enough route for Carson. Had he thrown it a little bit sooner, maybe J.J. Arcega-Whiteside had an opportunity to make a play to at least knock it down. But he didn't even... It was just an awful play all around. A great play by the corner to read it and play the ball the way that he did, where he didn't interfere, number one, with Arcega-Whiteside and made a great catch. It was an awful, awful play. Unacceptable, as Doug Peterson, the head coach, said with that play. 610-632-0975. You want to get in here and react to the Birds' 37-19 loss to the Los Angeles Rams yesterday afternoon. Barrett in South Jersey next on the Fanatic. Barrett, how you doing?
How you doing? This is Derek.
Oh, Derek, what's going on, man? What's happening?
What's up, man? I want to talk about this quarterback play, man. It's just terrible the last 2 weeks. I'm getting Kevin Cobb vibes from it because he's driving down the field and throwing picks in the end zone now. It's like 6 turnovers in the last 2 games from him. It's like, I don't understand it.
Well, I would feel bad about that one because out of all the quarterbacks that a lot of people jumped on, I was one that I never saw it with Kevin Cobb, and I was right about him. And obviously, if that's the feeling that you're getting, Derek, with this one, I would be wrong about Wentz because I thought Wentz was what we saw in 2017 and nowhere near what we're seeing these last 2 games.
Wentz at least runs for 2-3 first downs a game. Stop leaving it on the receivers to catch the ball on 3rd and 4. You have to go get 4 yards. Russell Wilson do it. Everybody does it. You have to do it. You can't stay in the pass in our game.
No, he does not. They also need to help him out by calling those things and getting him out of the pocket, rolling him out a little bit to give him what he does well, put him in a position to succeed by doing that. But we didn't see a lot of that at all, Derek, yesterday with this team. At all.
Yeah, I got the Bengals winning, man. It's like every Sunday I'm basically like having a bad Sunday now the last 2 weeks. And I feel like even a Bengals fan could be happy about their team, even though they're losing. You can root for that. You cannot root for this.
No. No, it's hard to root for this. And if you say the Bengals are going to win it and you put up a good game plan, Derek, of how they're going to win, I can't argue that. I can't argue against that.
Yeah, they're definitely going to win, man. The defense looks confused. The whole first half, confused. I don't feel like watching this no more.
No, and I get it, man. Listen, thanks for the call. There's a lot of people that are simply backing out of what they are watching with this football team. Number one, look, if the one good thing is no one, you hate that COVID is going on and you're not allowed in the stadium, right? But man, if you at least you guys did not have to go down there and witness that in person. Meanwhile, Malcolm Jenkins is making plays still. 610-632-0975. Gary in Florida. We're going to run these phone calls here tonight right here on the Fanatic. What's up, Gary?
Well, Devon, how you doing, brother?
Oh, man, this was a tough one yesterday. This was another one for me where as the game ended, I just said, especially after the interception, I just sit there and shook my head. Like,
yeah. Man. So I don't know if you remember what we spoke about last week, but you know what the problem is here is that, and I actually agree with the last call. I think they're going to get beat by the Bengals. Here's the thing. We asked for rollout plays, and if you look, just to go back to the Arcega-Whiteside pick, he had enough room to run for the first down.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the mentality he doesn't have anymore. He knows that's a 50-50 ball. First off, you're throwing it to probably the worst receiver on the team, who's proven nothing whatsoever. So in your head, you're right. You had the two crossers were Goddard and Ertz, and they were both covered, and that's why the safety was playing high on the other side. But either way, why don't you just tuck it and take the 10 yards to pick up the first down? It was first and 10. You don't need a big Hail Mary ball on first and 10.
And it's first and 10 after you have already had the momentum. So what you've already been doing, getting the ball downfield, although he was more of a possession receiver, not a deep threat, DeSean Jackson was catching the football. You hit your tight ends a couple of times, Greg Ward as well. Go ahead and do that because you have the momentum, and now they're trying to figure out exactly what you're doing. Do exactly what you're saying, and now that you're making yourself a threat with your legs, they're going to come up a little bit, and then you can hit someone else down the field.
Exactly. That's what the problem is. They have now keened into the fact that he does not use his legs ever again. He stopped using his legs, and that's taken away a factor of his game.
You know what this?
And
you know what that reminds you?
Can't get it on it.
That makes me that concerns me because I was a big Donovan McNabb fan, a big supporter of his. I still back him.
Yep.
And the one thing that bothered me was he allowed that talk to get into his head, and he stopped using one of his weapons that made him a phenomenal weapon for the Philadelphia Eagles, and stopped running because he wanted to prove something in the pocket.
Now, Devon, real quick before we go, I just want to make one thing clear. Yes, Carson has struggled the last two games.
Mm-hmm.
There is no way Jalen Hurts deserves to even touch the field as a starting quarterback. Okay, so that conversation needs to die now. Your defense has given up 37 and 27 to teams that really weren't high-scoring teams coming into the game. I mean, what did the Rams drop on the Cowboys? 16 it was?
20.
So where's the focus on to the defense? Where this defense that was so – they put so much money into the defensive line. I don't even think – do they have a sack on the year?
That's a good question.
Oh, they have a strip sack on
– Oh, Brandon Graham had a sack yesterday.
Yeah.
Brandon Graham did have a sack yesterday.
Okay, yesterday. So you dumped all this money into the line.
Don't get me started with Derek Barnett again.
Yeah. You have this rejuvenated, supposedly rejuvenated defensive backfield where you couldn't pay Malcolm the extra $1 million that he wanted to play football for your team, and you let him go down to a conference rival to make it even worse. And here's the thing. Here's what irritates me is that everybody's harping on Wentz. Why is nobody harping on the defense? The defense hasn't given the offense any chance. They don't turn the ball over. There's not been one turnover in two games.
No takeaways.
And you're not giving the offense chances to get out on the field. Every time they started on the field, it was in their own territory.
Mm-hmm.
Get a turnover, flip possession. I mean, how much longer of this can? And here's a question: Do you put Peterson and Schwartz on the hot seat after this? Say they do go 4-12. Or 3-13. Is Peterson on the hot seat?
He will be gone before.
To be, right?
He will be gone, Peterson, before the quarterback. You know how that goes. Even though they made the choice of Hurts out there, Gary. Thanks for the call. Even though they made the choice of Hurts in the second round, the head coach will go before the quarterback. You disagree, Tyler?
No, I agree with that. I think that generally speaking, coaches go significantly before players, especially players on big contracts.
Yep.
There is no way that if it comes down to, you know, either or, pick one, you just A or B, it's Doug Peterson. It's pretty obvious, too, I think. I don't think it's gotten to that point yet, but I'm saying if it did, it would be Peterson before it was Wentz.
Yeah. Yep. 610-632-0975. That's Tyler Zuli, Devon Givens with you until 10 o'clock here on this Reaction Monday after an Eagles loss, 37-19. They're 0-2 at the start of the season, and the Dallas Cowboys get a entertaining victory when it was all said and done last night. 610-632-0975, and we have a tweet from a Philadelphia Eagle that was dumb. Let's go to KP in Philly next on the Fanatic. KP!
Yeah, I'm back. What's up, Devon?
Back at it after you win $100.
Man, I'm so upset, dude. I knew
that's
that
right.
question, but it's all right. We'll move past that.
You got it, man.
So, obviously, just like against Washington, yesterday was just, you know, disgraceful and unacceptable. Again, you know, Carson throwing two picks and, you know, the fumble on the opening drive by Sanders. And then, you know, this defensive line, man, I don't get it because we got Cox, who hasn't really been Fletcher for the past 2-3 years, if we're being honest.
Yeah, he was okay in a couple of games last season, especially that last game before they got into the playoffs. But, yeah, he's taking a step back.
Yeah, he's just not a normal self anymore. And then, but still, we got Malik Jackson and Hargrave. It's like with them three rotating and constantly having one of them guys as fresh legs, I'm just so surprised that it's not. And again, it's early. You know what I mean? And this team has a tendency of, clicking later on in the season. So, in my opinion, honestly, what I think is going to happen, and I know this sounds crazy, but I think what happened is going to be more extreme than Carson Wentz's rookie year. But so how Carson Wentz's rookie year, we won the first three games. We were 3-0, and then we obviously went on to lose whatever, 9 of the last 13 or whatever it was. So I think this year is going to be a little bit different. Now, this is going to sound crazy because we got a really tough schedule, but I think our offense, once it starts clicking, man, it's going to be dynamic. Once they get this timing down and they got Rager and Jackson out there at the same time and Ward in the slot, and the just it's just going to be crazy. I think what's going to happen is we're going to lose to the Bengals on Sunday, and then I think they're going to be so mad and humiliated and embarrassed and hungry after that point, and everyone's counting them out, that they're going to finish the last 13 games 11-2, and we're going to finish the season at 11-5.
Well, KP, listen, man, again, congratulations on the $100, man. Enjoy that. I don't feel your enthusiasm there.
That's some wishful thinking right there.
Very, very. I don't see it how you see it, but I hope that is the outcome for this football team. I mean, come on. I do not see it that way. I do not. If they lose next week, and you just said they're going to lose to the Bengals next week. That's what KP just said. People in this town will freak out. Okay?
The good news is one of those two teams has to get their first win of the year. Well, not has to, but
yeah, you tell
likely will, like will, likely will get their first win of the year.
Oh my goodness.
They lose. Can you imagine losing to a rookie quarterback?
That rookie quarterback.
I don't think it
good.
Matters in this town right now. If they lost that game in week 12,
I hear
12,
you, but people have already given him his credit. He looks
yeah,
good.
He's looked really good. He I think he's good. Been very cool, calm, and collected for almost the majority of his two games so far.
Yeah.
But if you start the season 0-2 and then lose to a rookie quarterback with a team that obviously they look better, much better than they did a season ago, despite the fact they don't have a win yet. But you lose to a team that won, two games last year?
Mm-hmm.
And you fall to 0-3 against the rookie quarterback? This team is going to lose its mind.
610-632-0975. Listen, Mark, we want to make sure we give you all your time on the other side. Tony and Joe as well. Three open phone lines. We got on here at 8 o'clock following Inside the Birds. The phone lines have been full. If you have been trying to get in, give us a call, 610-632-0975. We have 25 minutes commercial free on the other side. We will continue with all of the conversation. We want to give you the opportunity to hear from Doug Peterson and a couple of other things that we wanted to play for you from his Zoom media conference with the guys this afternoon, guys and gals this afternoon. And we have to give you the tweet from the Philadelphia Eagle player that was just flat out dumb. 610-632-0975. We'll update you on the Phillies as well, and we'll keep this thing rolling until 10 o'clock on this Reaction Monday following the Philadelphia Eagles loss to the Rams right here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Give me that phone. Javon Givens on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Broadcasting from the Xfinity studio, only from Comcast, Devon Givens with you on this Monday night, reaction night from your football weekend. Specifically, obviously, about your Philadelphia Eagles, 610-632-0975, 9 o'clock here on this Monday night, an abbreviated show following the great radio, two-hour radio show from Inside the Birds, Adam Kaplan and Jeff Mosher. So make sure you check those guys out on Mondays from 6 to 8, and we will follow every Monday from 8 to 10 right here on 97.5 The Fanatic. 610-632-0975. Mark, before we come to you, Tyler, tell everybody, in case they did not see this tweet from a Philadelphia Eagle that had you fuming, and the same for me.
Yeah, I mean, I was really not happy when I saw this tweet. I'm glad that you kind of mentioned it to me as well. And I'm trying to find the exact tweet, but I'll paraphrase it just for the moment until we can get the exact tweet. But it came from Eagles rookie Kevon Wallace.
Mm-hmm.
And he basically, and like I said, I'll get you the full tweet as soon as I can find it.
Did he delete it?
It's
if you can't find
it's possible because I can't
find it. It must be deleted because he should not have tweeted it.
Yeah, I can't find it. So either I'm missing it or
somebody has,
or it's or he may have deleted it because I'm now. Oh, here you go. It's it was a day ago. This is the tweet word for word. If you're not rocking with us, stay that way. Don't switch sides. We want the real only.
Mm-hmm.
That's the tweet from the rookie.
Mm-hmm. We want the real only. First of all, shut up. You just got here. As much as we like the selection, right? As much as we liked the selection, be quiet because you just got here and you have done nothing. What did he do? Recover a fumble? Okay, cool. Ben Simmons has way more clout than you, and he got ripped to shreds when he tried that crap last year in the playoffs. Well, against the Brooklyn Nets in the playoffs when they lost game number one, where he foolishly said the same exact thing. Is he nut? Does he know where he is? Come on. That was dumb. You're a rookie. That is hardly playing. You have the people on your side already with how you have been tweeting since you were drafted. About how much you love the Philadelphia Eagle fans. You're going to bring this and you're going to bring that. You're going to do this for the defense. Well, go out there and do it and be quiet. Because that is not what you say to the Philadelphia Eagle fans, period.
Well, and here's my issue with the tweet. I get what he's trying to say. What he's trying to say is you should stick with us through the good and the bad, right? Mm-hmm. That's what he's trying to get at.
Mm-hmm.
Here's my problem with the tweet is... Eagles fans can do two things at once, and fans of all sports can do two things at once.
Yep.
Part one is these fans are going to ride with this team through a 4-12 season or a 12-4 season. They are going to be here. Eagles fans are loyal to a fault. Part two, which can be true at the exact same time, is we have a right to be angry at the way that this team has played over the last 2 weeks. You brought it up at the beginning of the show. They look like a 6-10 team. They've been pathetic. It's not like we're not sugarcoating it and saying, oh, they've been bad. There's only a couple things that need to get changed. They've been downright pathetic over the last 2 weeks.
And who is he to say something like that?
I'm not even worried about the person.
Oh, I am, because first of all, no one should be saying it because you're 0-2. And who are you to say something like that? You have done nothing in this town. Absolutely nothing. Absolutely nothing. Whether you get the message or not, that cannot be said. Cannot be said. 610-632-0975. Mark and Belmar checking in with us on the Fanatic. Thanks for hanging on, Mark.
What's up, brother? How you doing?
I'm doing all right, man. That Kayvon Wallace thing, though, I didn't like that. I didn't like that at all.
I hear you. I really wasn't. It didn't rub me the wrong way. I mean, you know, he's a young bull in the squad. You don't really know how we react yet. I feel like he's just, I agree with Tyler, kind of. It's like you're with us or you're not. And I don't know. That's how I saw it. But talking about the Eagles in general, man, I feel like we should have already been prepared to be in this position just because the way we draft. I mean, we stink because we don't draft correctly. I mean, we don't stink because, I mean, obviously, Doug is not, I don't even know. It's like vanilla ice cream, plain, boring. It's like no changes. It's just no realistic adjustments.
The creativity you saw from the Rams, you wanted to see that from Doug Peterson.
You would never see
Peterson.
A fake motion jet sweep deep pass at the tight end like that. He would never call something like that. Come on, we're Eagles fans. We know better than that. But like I am so, I called you all quarantine long. Patrick Queen, he leads the Ravens in tackles. Yep. We don't even have a linebacker, Devon. Have a linebacker.
Mark, you know that's in my notes, man, because when you were talking about it, Tyler Zuli was talking about it, Joe Torty was talking about it, then you talk about Kenneth Murray, you talk about him. Come on.
Patrick Queen has 17 tackles, a sack, and a forced fumble.
Looks
and
great.
And we drafted Jalen Reagor. He's gonna be the new Ray Lewis of the Ravens, and we passed on him for what? We didn't even fill the hole. It wasn't even like we drafted another linebacker.
Yes, you did.
Davion
Taylor. Yes, you did.
Come on. Don't. Come on. Don't.
I just did. Yeah.
Davion
Taylor.
I can't deal with that. I mean, every year it's the draft. Like last year. This year we drafted a wide receiver because last year we didn't draft Metcalf. Now this season coming up, we're going to have to draft a linebacker because we didn't draft Queen. Every single year, it's just we shoot ourselves in the foot because we don't draft the players to fill.
we just expect people to follow. Like, I don't even know our linebackers' full names right now. Riley and Nathan Gary. Like,
I still get Gary's name wrong. Sometimes I want to say Jerry. I don't
know. How are those your linebackers going in Sunday? And you know what's crazy? This is how you know if you put yourself in the position of any NFL team. When they see the schedule, are you afraid to go against Carson Wentz's offense or go against Fletcher Cox's defense? No, they pose no threat. The only threat or on anybody really on the field that wears midnight green, okay, we can't throw Darius Slay's way. And you kind of can, but when he's one-on-one, I mean, he's a legit cornerback. But other than that, there's no bright spots. There is no light at the end of the tunnel with this team. And I was with you. I defended Carson for the past 3 years. I hate the Folesian Society. I can't believe it exists. And they're all coming out to play. And now, like, anybody that thinks Jalen Hurts would succeed in this offense, it's a comedy. Like, you don't understand the game of football. If Carson Wentz is succeeding, what the hell makes you think Jalen Hurts is going to succeed when he couldn't even secure the starting job?
You got to follow the trend, man. Follow the trend.
It's ridiculous.
It is, man.
We're just going to have to live with it. We're an A&A football team for the foreseeable future.
Are they an A&A football team this season?
No, they'll find a way to go A&A. I don't think we lose to Cincinnati. We probably find a way.
Lost to Washington.
We'll find a way to beat the Niners. We're going to lose to the Ravens, and we're going to get smoked by the Ravens, honestly, unless something dramatic happens to Baltimore, because they're a powerhouse.
Go ahead and get your Patrick Queen jersey there, Mark.
Yep.
All right, man. You got it, man. I appreciate it. 610-632-0975. And you have some breaking news, Tyler, non-football related.
Yes. Yeah, we're going to go to a little bit of a duo, the combination of the NBA world and the NASCAR world are teaming up.
Uh-huh.
Michael Jordan is along with former driver Denny Hamlin, is starting a single car NASCAR team, and they've chosen Bubba Wallace to be their driver.
Look at that. How about that?
MJ getting into the NASCAR game.
I like it. Get in there. Right? Tap into everything.
Make money where money exists.
Might as well. TT Fish Don 50 on Twitter says, bad play aside, I can't help but believe there's something going on in the inner workings of this organization causing disconnect. Well, listen, read the Jeff McClain story. Again, read that. Don, from the start of the season, what was that, 2 weeks ago now? 2.5 weeks ago, before the Washington game, Don, read that story, and you can see where the disconnect comes in, where Doug Peterson is at the podium 1 minute saying he's keeping his coordinators, and then the next day they are fired. Right? Go right there. That's where you need to go. 610-632-0975. Rontrepreneur. Carson is a combination of Andrew Luck, who stays injured, and Tim Tebow, good boy attitude. The Eagles overall have to put their Super Bowl win behind and rebuild, adjust the team to win another in a different way. That's Rontrepreneur on Twitter. You have to win by any means, right? You adjust, you make your adjustments. They did not yesterday. I don't even think the Rams had to make adjustments. They just went out there, called the game based on what they saw, and it was pitch and catch. It was rookie mode on Madden. 610-632-0975. Tony in West Philly. What's up, Tone?
Yo, what's up, bro? How you doing?
What's going on?
Man, this is common sense. Look at the production Wentz had with Frank Wright as offensive coordinator. Ever since his departure, it's been constant decline. Now, Doug Peterson, I looked at what he did last week. A minute and a half before the first half is up, you throw in the ball. Still got your foot on the pedal for what? You run the ball. You never give a team life momentum. Ever since Frank Wright left, his ego is that he's an offensive coordinator, which he isn't. And then I looked at Whiteside. Darrell, first of all, he can't assess talent. Whiteside shouldn't even be on the field.
Nope.
I think the draft they got up Hightower and the other ones, they're going to be good receivers. But you have no offensive coordinator. Look at offensive line. Jason Peters was out of here 4 years ago. All right, he's getting blown up all the time. And when I look at that, and I think Carson Wentz, and he forced that, but Whiteside never even put, I can't even call it a route. He never even gave a dip outside to get the corner to lean, and so that he had room by the time he could turned inside, the ball's there, even though it was a tight fit. So I thought the GM. I fault Doug Peterson. And I think Wentz is the victim, I'm sorry, of a bad offensive coordinator. And until they adjusted, I got them going 0-5 the first five games of the season. They losing all five. And I think finally, I don't know if Doug going to be gone before the season's out, but I just feel something like he's going to lose too many games. And it's apparent that he cannot run the offense as he thinks he is. He can. And I think he just needs to swallow his pride, eat a little humble pie, and bring in the offensive coordinator. They can't assess talent. They're never going to get it right.
And that's where, real quick, let me jump into him real quick, because that's where this whole thing is a mess, to the point of, again, things going on inside the disconnect that Don is talking about here on Twitter. You're talking about it, Doug Peterson. I'm talking about Carson Wentz. Another caller or tweeter is talking about Howie Roseman. These are the most important people in the organization right now. And there's a problem amongst all of us with each one of them. There's a faction of each one of the fan base that has a finger to point at all three of them. And that's bad. That is really bad. Your future quarterback, your Super Bowl winning head coach, and your guy, your GM, who has put everything together. And here we are right now, a couple of years removed from that Super Bowl, where they told us this was going to be the new norm. And here we are now talking about they're going to be an 8-8 football team or 7-9 football team. That is ridiculous.
But they lost the major pieces that enabled them to get to that Super Bowl. They're gone. And so now Dougie's trying to play the role like he is, and he isn't. And how come Wentz had the production under him, but he doesn't have it under Dougie? That tells you something right there. I think Wentz has all the potential in the world, and he got the wrong personnel on the field. Yeah, Deshaun came back a little bit, but he's not that real stretch bar burner no more. He can get you a little few inside routes, but you got to let the young boys get in there. You got to build an offensive line. I think it's dismal, and until we change the top brass, we're not going to go anywhere.
Yeah, but the tough part, right, for me, the tough part about, as you say, get the young guys in there and build and all, they have done so much with spending money, Tone. They have to try to win right now. They can't go out there and just let these young guys play. Jalen Reagor and John Hightower, as speedy as they are, they're not ready, right? They're not ready. And if you go out there and you continue to lose, they know what this city is like. They can't do that. So they've already put themselves in a tough position, Tone, where they cannot do what you're talking about. They can go out there and put John Hightower out there again if they want to, and then they're going to get more interceptions from Carson Wentz, and we're going to be talking exactly what you're speaking of. Thanks for the call, Tone. A 0-5 team to start off the football season. Can't do that. Can't do that.
I don't think that there is...
But I get what you're saying, Tone, but you can't do it.
There's not one solution. It's not one solution for this team. You know, he brings up the coordinators and he brings up all of this, and we've talked about this multiple times. The 2017 success was not product of Doug Peterson being a genius, and it was not product of Frank Reich being some amazing offensive coordinator, and it wasn't product of John DeFilippo being this, you know, quarterback whisperer where he was the quarterback coach. It was product of all three of them working in tandem with Carson Wentz, with the options and weapons that he had on the field, and they made it succeed. You take one of them away, it lessens it. You take two of them away, it lessens it even further. But this isn't because of the fact that Frank Reich and John DeFilippo aren't there anymore by themselves. It's a product of all three of them working in tandem together is what worked.
They need to find a way to make it work again.
And when you win a Super Bowl,
because they're not coming back.
When you win a Super Bowl, much like players, coaches get vultured by lesser teams. But to say that those guys are the immediate success is not true, because I don't think Frank Reich's done a great job in Indianapolis. I think he's been okay. John DeFilippo already lost his job when he was with Jacksonville.
Yeah, where is he now? Chicago?
That's a good question. I'm not sure.
I'll take a look.
But he lasted one season. These guys worked in tandem as a trifecta to get success.
Sickening. 610.
It's just that there's no tangible, like you can tangibly say Frank Reich did this, John DeFilippo did this, Doug Peterson did this, or did not do this.
Right.
it's just not tangible when you say all three of them together.
Sickening. 610-632-0975. Devon Givens with you until 10 here on this Reaction Monday. Following the Philadelphia Eagles loss to the Los Angeles Rams in week 2, 37-19. And again, it is a lot of reaction. There has been a lot of reaction to what we saw yesterday on television at Lincoln Financial Field. Joe in Jersey next on the Fanatic. Joe.
How are you, Devon?
Not good, like many other Eagle people around here.
Well, I'm not going to make it any better. As far as I'm concerned, there has been a regression in Carson Wentz since 2017. It has nothing to do with the coaching.
Oh, yeah.
If you watch him, he can't hit a receiver. I can't remember the last time he's hit a receiver in stride. He doesn't throw receivers open. He waits till they're open to throw the ball to them. You never see the ball in the air before a break. Can he even read a defense? I mean, I just think that the man's totally regressed, and he may have had a great rookie season, but he hasn't shown any improvement since then.
That's something, that we heard yesterday, that he cannot read defenses, and that's not good. If he can't read defenses year five in the NFL as a starting quarterback, you're in trouble. You're right.
But the other thing, too, is, everybody brought up how, he carried us to the playoffs last year with those last four games.
And he was good. He was really good.
But, if he had played better in the beginning of the season, like he's doing right now, they might not have been in that situation. This is a mirror of what's happened last year in the beginning of the season. No. He didn't play well last year in the beginning of the year.
No, you did not. If you played well, you would not have had that situation that they were in for him to win those last four games.
And it's happening again this year. And you can't keep blaming receivers, the coaches.
Well, the only reason you can put blame on them because they didn't run the right routes. They may not have battled for the football and at least becoming, at least some attacking the football the way they're supposed to. But we know at the end of the day that it's the quarterback. And yes, you can blame the coaches for certain things. You can.
All that pass to Goddard. If he had put that out in front of him, Goddard was going to the end zone.
No question.
If he put it behind him.
Well, and the one thing, do we know that it wasn't a back shoulder type of pass that he was trying to do, but even still, he's supposed to read what's happening and see that it turned into something totally different. He readjusted. Now throw the ball over the top and allow him to make a catch while he has a great corner on him and he has him beat. Hit that man.
Yeah, he had the man beat.
Yeah, man.
So I'm just, like I say, I just see a total regression in him.
Yeah, we talked about that last week, yeah.
Tank for Lawrence.
All right, so that means you're a quarterback factory for real, and now you're going to have to trade Jalen Hurts, right?
Yeah, but you know what, Devon?
Yeah.
I mean, I watch Jalen Hurts, and Jalen Hurts is a good quarterback. But you need a franchise quarterback to win. And you need to win while he's under a rookie contract. Are you going to waste five more years on Jalen Hurts? I mean, personally, I wouldn't even put Jalen Hurts really on the field till the end of the year this year. Let him sit and learn the offense since he didn't have a training camp and all.
Got to justify that pick, Joe. Thanks for the call. You know how it goes in professional sports. You have to justify this election. You have to. Otherwise, you're going to be called out on it. Right? How many times do we see players selected in a certain spot? And you have to put J.J. Arcega-Whiteside. All right. He's out there. He's a second-round pick. I understand that you don't have Alshon Jeffrey as a big receiver, so you go with your next best as a big receiver, and that's J.J. Arcega-Whiteside, who, as Adam Kaplan pointed out during the Inside the Birds radio show from 6 to 8, they want him to be the replacement. But he's not showing that. But the justification of the selection of J.J. Arcega-Whiteside and the success that D.K. Metcalf is having with the Seattle Seahawks, ripping you a new one last season, already starting off his second campaign, great performances so far. Look at him last night, and you get this stuff from J.J. Arcega-Whiteside. So, yeah, you have to justify the selection. That is why that man was suited up yesterday. There's no other reason why he was suited up yesterday for the Philadelphia Eagles. What was he going to do if something happened to Carson Wentz? What was he going to do? All right, Why was he in front of Nate Sudfeld? Because he was the number two selection, and you had your number two selection in the second round, not drafted week number one, and we went nuts last week. We didn't go crazy, but we went nuts because he was not in uniform in week number one, and you saw the deficiencies with the roster already in game number one after you had the 17-point lead, where you had issues up and down in different spots. The fact that you had these journeymen, a rookie, what was Driscoll? Fourth round selection. Then you had Nate Herbig. So we're tearing him a new one for that one because you had an opportunity to go out there and get another one in the draft right there in that second round. Then you start speaking about, well, what about everything else that's going on where you don't have an opportunity to run the football because Miles Sanders is injured and you didn't take J.K. Dobbins, who had two touchdowns in his debut, for the Baltimore Ravens. Oh, well, maybe Akers. He might be something. While he didn't play yesterday a lot yesterday for the Rams because he got injured, well, he had a nice debut in week number one where he at least looked like he was going to be a part of their rotation. You couldn't get anything going with Boston Scott and Corey Clement and Huntley while Miles Sanders was out. Nothing. So you doggone right they're going to put him out there in uniform yesterday and put in four, what did he play, four snaps? And they had some gadget trick stuff. And I'm not going to say that one of them looked really good. The play design looked pretty decent out there. But still, number two pick. You mean to tell me right now they couldn't use an extra defensive end because Derek Barnett stinks? You mean to tell me they can't use an extra linebacker because you don't have any? You mean to tell me they couldn't use another corner or safety? What was your man's name? Tyler?
Jeremy Chinn. And that's the thing.
I'm just saying. So, you know, we'll get into that when we get back because we have you to get to. Lance, Charlie, Ryan, Shannon, 610-632-0975. Final segment, 25 minutes commercial free. We'll be quiet. We'll let you run. Say what you have to say about the Birds right here. Oh, Charlie wants to talk about the Kayvon Wallace tweet right here on The Fanatic.
Give me that phone. Javon Givens. 97.5. The Fanatic. The Fanatic.
All right, 931 97.5, The Fanatic. Final segment here, 610-632-0975, as we react to the Philadelphia Eagles' loss to the Los Angeles Rams, 37-19. It was ugly. And they had an opportunity, and they at least the opportunity to make it closer, make it more interesting, but the interception really, really, really turned things around again for the Birds. Carson Wentz has to be better. Let's keep it moving on the phones. We have people we want to get to, of course, and we want to give them an opportunity, like Lance in Arizona. What's up, Lance?
Hey, Devon. So we talked last week, and I said people aren't talking about the defense because Carson Wentz was so bad in that game. This defense is the same defense that it was last year. Let's think about this. They've gone into the red zone 9 times. They've only stopped them twice, and that was only because Washington gave them one at the end of the game because they didn't want to run up the score. So really, out of 8 times, they've given up 7 touchdowns. That's not good enough to win. And then I look at Nate Gary. We've known their linebackers. They're not even average starting NFL linebackers. Nope. They're backups. Like Casey, this is like Casey Matthews keep trying to run Casey Matthews out there, trying to prove a point that he was a starting caliber linebacker in the NFL, and then he wasn't. Like, you go back to that Super Bowl team, Nigel Bradham and Michael Kendricks, when they were playing, Michael Kendricks had the best season he had in like 3 years, and Nigel Bradham had his best season maybe of his career. So your linebackers were good. You didn't get away from linebackers that year. They just played above their talent level that they've shown in the past. Like, and then I go and look at it this way. I also told you guys, just because you have talent does not mean you're going to perform on the field. Now, I look at Malik Jackson. He was not good in 2018. He flat out was not good. That's why he got benched by the Jags, and that's why they cut him. Now he's coming off the list break. He didn't do anything that game. I didn't see Hargreaves do anything in that game.
Fletcher Cox, I love Fletcher Cox, man, but he hasn't looked great, like dominant since that Saints divisional game. That was the last time he took over a game. Mm-hmm. Like, legitimately, wreaked havoc was that game.
Yep.
Like, so I'm looking at this, and teams have figured out that you want to pressure up front, so you know what they're doing? They're moving the pocket. Jared Goff is all on rollouts and moving the pocket so you don't get the pressure because you don't have good enough defensive ends that get pressured all the time. So they just move out to that way because you're not going to beat their tackle.
Yep.
So that's another problem you have with the defense. And then I haven't even talked about the offense. Like, to me, Carson Wentz, he has his own set of issues right now. I don't know if that groin injury in training camp is worse than we think, and that's why he's having some of these poor throws. But his mechanics are awful. And this has been a problem since around mid-2018. So it tells me either he's not listening to his coach who's telling him about it, or his coach doesn't have the cojones to go to him and say, hey, your mechanics are off, man. Like, and I can pinpoint things in this game where his mechanics were off. He had Miles Sanders going across the middle of the field, and he threw it flat-footed. You're not going to complete that pass flat-footed. That's why the ball sailed behind him. And then Dallas Goedert, a 10-yard pass is an easy 10-yard completion. He fails it because his footwork is bad. Like, last year against
Dallas. Remember when we played that audio last week when we were talking about just that, the footwork being off and how things have changed and it looked really bad in 2019?
Yeah, and like, this is a problem. And it comes down to, if he's not listening to his coaches, that means you don't have the right coach in place. We can say whatever we want. Frank or DeFilippo, when he was here, he might not have liked DeFilippo, and they might have butt heads, because I remember listening on the podcast with Adam Kaplan and Mosher that might have been true.
Yep.
But he got the best out of him, because one week when he was bad against the Bears with his footwork, the next week he was back. Yep. Man, because you know DeFilippo was going to get him on it. I feel like Press Taylor is way too buddy-buddy with him, and he can't say what he needs to get the most out of him, and that's why you're seeing some of the regression. Now, also a problem is you expected young players, just because they had talent, to go on the field and be productive with Carson Wentz. You didn't have an offseason with them. Like, you didn't have a preseason with them. So asking young players, like, think about who his wide receivers are. The most games he's played with his wide receivers are Jaylen and Greg Ward. Think about that. That's not good, because you haven't built up that rapport. So that you're going to have mistakes, and you're not going to be on the same page. Now, his tight end, it should have been better. But I put that yesterday on Doug Peterson. Like, they lost their best linebacker to the Raiders last year. They have a bunch of scrubs like the Eagles do at linebacker. So why aren't you attacking their linebackers with your tight end? Like, they only had 15 targets between them. They should have been at 25 targets with how bad those tight ends were.
Because you gotta get cute. You know that, Lance. You can't just, thanks for the call, man. You can't get creative. And, I mean, you want it. These things are so frustrating. So frustrating. Oh, Zay Jones just scored. It's so frustrating.
Does it feel like to you, and I know that the one example is obviously Jalen Reagor, this particular NFL draft, but
right.
Does it feel like to you that for the last couple of seasons specifically, the Eagles are drafting to play catch up? Like, they're drafting a year behind what they needed to draft at a particular spot. Jalen Reagor is obviously like the most glaring example of it because they desperately needed a wide receiver.
Yeah.
But they try all these things. Something falls through. Midway through the season, they go, okay, we need to address X, Y, or Z. And then in the upcoming draft, they don't do it. In the upcoming offseason, they go out and try to do something through free agency. It's like patchwork. And then the year after, they go, okay, maybe we needed to draft somebody.
Yeah.
And then they're like playing catch up.
I got it.
To get back to that point.
I got you. I hear you, man. I hear you for sure. I do. 610-632-0975. Let's get everybody in here. Give them their shot. Charlie and Broomall next on the Fanatic. What's up, Chuck?
Hey, how's it going, Devon?
It's going, man. How about yourself?
I know. I feel like Chicken Little with the skies falling, you know? With the Philadelphia skies falling everywhere. You got Klentak saying that it's okay if they don't re-sign.
Did you hear him again say this, man?
Yeah.
Again, man, he's doubling back on this. Talking about, well, yeah, six still look good. And come on. We knew what we were doing. You get control for 2 years. We know that. You know that. Sign him.
Mm-hmm. Sign him, man. He's the best catcher in baseball.
Oh, man.
And then you got your best player on your team screaming that you need the best catcher in baseball. It's just, I don't know, it's like rocket surgery, I guess. Mm. Anyway, I think Kevon Wallace, listen, if the optics of it are like real bad with his tweet, but I think I know what he's saying. There is a large, and I don't mean this as a knock on Michael Vick. I love Michael Vick. But there's like this Michael Vick fanboy fan base, part of like the Philadelphia Eagles Twitter like fan base out there. I don't know if you've ever seen that. Mm. Like these guys they're not lifelong fans. These are kind of like bandwagon jumpers that jumped on and then never jumped off. And I've seen some tweets from these like this like huge clique of Eagles Twitter that, I mean, they say some pretty disgusting things about Carson Wentz and the rest of the Philadelphia Eagles and how they're jumping off and they don't want to be a part. They don't want to be a part of this fan base anymore. And I think that's what he was aiming at, because I gotta think he's seeing that stuff.
The only problem I have, Charlie, is mm-hmm. is Kayvon Wallace.
Yeah, well, that's, you know what, he's
a fourth round.
He's very young.
He can't. He shouldn't be saying anything. And, you know what I mean? He can't say anything because he hasn't done anything. And yeah. I mean, like I pointed out, Ben Simmons said this last year in the playoffs.
Yeah.
And we went off on him, and rightfully so, because again, Absolutely. He had no business saying that.
No, he didn't. And he's not the superstar. He should. I mean, if he was a superstar, if he was Allen Iverson, and he said that after,
it would go over a little bit differently. Yep.
Absolutely. Now I got one more thing for you. And I don't hear enough people talk about this because maybe it's too far in the past for people to remember. The Philadelphia Eagles have long been the front office has had this culture of tumultuous behavior going back all the way to the power struggle between Nichols Banner and Howie Roseman and Andy Reid, then Andy Reid and Howie Roseman, then Howie Roseman and Chip Kelly, and then Chip Kelly and Howie Roseman. And then now it seems to me, and this is just my thought with this article that came out, that you have a Super Bowl winning coach and a Super Bowl winning general manager. And I feel like the defensive coordinator and the general manager are on the same team here. And they don't get along with the coach, and they wouldn't mind seeing the coach go bye-bye. And I really hope that's not the case, because I'd rather see the other two go bye-bye. I got to watch one more week of the defensive coordinator allowing why you paid all that money for a great cornerback and he's playing 10 yards off the ball 2 weeks in a row. I watched it 2 weeks in a row and it drove me nuts. It really bothers me, because you're giving up these little slant routes and you got quarterbacks that aren't. I don't think Jared Goff's a good quarterback. I think he's a terrible quarterback, in my opinion.
He looked good yesterday.
He looked great, didn't he? Okay. He looked like Joe Montana yesterday.
Yeah, he was good yesterday.
Picking apart our defense because they're playing 10 yards off the receiver, and these offensive coordinators aren't stupid. They're taking the quick, easy throw from their crap quarterbacks. And they're torching our defense up and down the field.
They are, man. I mean, and this is, listen, thanks for the call, man. Appreciate it again. Yeah. We'll talk to you, Chuck, down the line. This is these guys, man. Okay.
I don't think that Goff is terrible.
He's not terrible, but he's not as good as the number one selection that he was picked at.
But I don't know if Wentz is any better in their system or worse off. I think that, because of the talent level of the NFL quarterback still being relatively polarizing, where like there's a few really good ones and a few really, really bad ones, and most of them are right in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
I think that Jared Goff is good. It's fair to say that he's good. People get like almost up in arms about the word good. It's not. I'm not saying he's great or excellent or superb.
He's good.
He's a good quarterback.
He's a good quarterback.
They made him look superb and excellent and great yesterday.
610-632-0975. We keep it moving. Shannon on the cell. Shan.
How you guys doing tonight?
What's up, man?
Hey, man. You know what? I ain't going to get into all this, you know, drama about, you know, some coach don't like some coach or why we pick Jalen Hurts or anything like that. All I know, man, is that J.J., Whiteside, Jalen Hurts, none of them guys had a dang thing to do with us being 0-2. We are 0-2 because our $100 million quarterback is playing some sorry-ass football. That's bottom line, man. That's bottom line. You know, I keep for 2 days, I keep hearing about DK Metcalf, DK Metcalf. I mean, who's throwing to DK Metcalf? The baddest dude on the planet. I guarantee if that dude Russell was playing quarterback to Russell, we wouldn't be 0-2 right now.
No, you would not.
I mean, we got to be real with this, man. I mean, goodness, I mean, please, I got nothing against Carson Person. I think he's a great guy. But he ain't a $100 million quarterback. I don't know any other quarterback making $100 million that we said that people talking about his footwork or talking about, you know, he missing wide open guys. You know, we're busting Doug like people ain't open. I watched that game twice yesterday. Man, he missed so many wide open dudes. Not even he is looking at, he's locking on the first dude and still missing him. He's playing like garbage, man. That's why we 0-2. You know, we can talk about the defense. The defense has sucked for the last 4 years. You know, there's no accountability on the defense. They, nothing to do with the players, it's the coach. We ain't got the best players, I know that, but the defensive coordinator is playing the same crappy. It don't care about who. We could have Deion and Sherman back there, and he's still going to play that little 5 yard off crap, you know, that we have no time for Deans to get to the quarterback. We know that.
You're right, people.
There's no accountability with that.
It's the wide, nine, Shannon, the wide nine.
That same, that he's doing the same thing, but they won a Super Bowl with that thing. We are 0-2 because our quarterback, take every other $100 million quarterback in the league, we'd be 2-0 right now. I mean, that's the...
Well, you had to beat Washington, and you should have been in a better spot yesterday. I would agree with you that, number one, Washington...
He missed so many wide-open dudes.
He did. He did.
Oh, my God. It was horrible.
He did.
And then he locked on the dudes, man.
He doesn't look right, or this is who he has been. He just had 2017.
And so you know what that tells me. You know,
what does that tell you?
Well, maybe they made the right decision because somebody said, well, you know what? Maybe, you know, Carson, I don't know if it's the injuries or what it is. Okay. But maybe we have to start thinking, you know, the guy's played 5 years, finished one season. You know, maybe it is a smart thing to draft a guy that you think can be the future of the organization. Well, maybe he can't be a superstar without Frank Reich. Well, hey, what? You know, they're going to need a quarterback at the end of the season because I think this is Rivers last year. You know, Indiana. You know, I mean, we could sit here and talk all night about all these excuses about how we draft picks. All I know is for fact, we lost those two games because Carson Wentz played like the worst quarterback in the league. Bottom line, man.
Right,
I mean, that's where we're at.
All right, man. Thanks, man. We'll talk. Hopefully it's under better conditions. And Tyler, you said how many quarterbacks?
Or 11 quarterbacks currently making at least $100 million. Ryan Tannehill became the latest one. And obviously Patrick Mahomes.
And Dak Prescott hasn't even gotten it.
Yeah, because Dak's only at 30. He's making $31
million. But it's not a long-term
deal. No, it's a tag.
Right, yeah. 610-632-0975. And Kyler Murray's going to get one. Did Lamar Jackson? No, he didn't even sign his yet because he's still on his rookie deal, right? Lamar Jackson?
Yes. So he actually is only, his full contract's only $9.5 million.
Yeah, so that's two more right there. Man. All right. Scott in Dallas checking in with us. 97.5 The Fanatic. Scott.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
What's going on?
How's it going?
Oh, it's going, man. I mean, we're all trying to vent here and figure this whole thing out.
Yeah, I want to talk a little bit about the Eagles. You know, I'm actually a big Carson Wentz guy. I've always been a big Carson Wentz guy. I've lost some faith with him the last few years, but I'm not one of those full society guys where I think he sucks. I'm kind of disappointed in what's been going on with him, but, you know, the pressure's on him because I've been out here in Dallas for about 5 years. I've been lucky enough. I got to see Kyler Murray in high school. I actually lived 5 miles from the high school he went to. I got to see, also got to see Hurts, man. And Hurts is underrated. I'm telling you, if he gets a chance to get on that field, I don't think he's going to get that job back up. As much as I love Carson, to me, Hurts is Dak Prescott and tangibles, but a much better player. That kid was a power lifter in high school, a human relations major, so he understands how to adapt to a team. A lot of the issues I see Carson has, I don't think they're going to have the same issues with him.
I understand the success that he had in Oklahoma, but he also... he had lost that job in Alabama, so why should we believe that he will be that guy, Scott, that you're talking about, that you saw?
He did lose that job in Alabama to a guy with a better arm, but I actually think long-term, I think he'll be a better pro than Tua, to be honest with you.
Okay.
I'm telling you, mark my words, that kid's going to be good. If he gets a chance to get on the field, it's all the intangibles.
Well, I don't think right now, because it is too soon, right? He didn't have a training camp.
I don't even want to see him right now. I hope Carson turns this around, to be honest with you. And I think sitting out a year will actually benefit him. But it's just everything about that kid, when you get around him, it screams pro. Like, he's going to be a good starter one day, whether it's here or somewhere else.
All right. Well, listen, Scott, make sure you check in with us whenever he does get on the field, whenever. Obviously, I don't want it to be this year because I want to see Carson Wentz do his thing, but you never know. Hey, Scott, thanks, man. Have a good one. Let's go to Gerald to close down the show for us tonight here in Los Angeles. What's up, G?
Hey, how you doing, Devon?
Not good.
Yeah, not good. But listen, man, I don't want to say the word hope, but we've been here before, man. Like, let's be honest. Every year, there's a couple of games, if not more, where Dougie's offense is terrible and we can't get anything going. And the offensive game plan loses us games. We saw that last week in Washington when they try to throw the ball 71% of the time. And we've seen it in years prior. Same thing every year. There's times when the defensive coordinator is either stubborn or completely predictable and teams just dink and dunk him for 5 yards. Plus then the guy catches the ball and runs however far he wants to run. This happens every year. Sometimes you remember, every year almost for the last 5 years, including the Super Bowl year, there was a time when we were calling for Jim Schwartz's job for this very reason, what we saw the last six quarters. So we've been here before. This isn't anything new. What's new is our quarterback's playing at like the lowest he's played his entire career, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, he's in a bad place right now. He has no faith in himself out there on the field. I'm guessing he has trust in the people that he's throwing the football to, but I know it's early in the year, so he's going to take those shots, but at some point he's going to lose faith in them too if they're not battling like the young receivers to get those footballs. But he has not looked comfortable, man. He does not look right unless what this is right. And again, we just happen to see him at his very best, which was 2017, and we don't know if that's going to return. I don't know.
But yeah, I mean, I think this, you know, the season is going to be what it's going to be, man. And we know that we got problems, man. We have a coach who's stubborn on both sides of the ball. Do you agree with me that every season your coaches lose you 2 to 4 games just with their game plan, whether it be the defensive coach or the offensive coach?
I'd probably say they can lose you 2. Yeah. Between all. Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah.
I mean, and it's not like, once in a while they just mess up. It's every season.
Yeah, you're right. This might be, like you just said, this might be who they are. This might be what it is. Gee, we got to get out of here, man. Thanks. Be safe out there in L.A., and we'll talk to you for sure. Quickly, Adam Schefter on Twitter says the NFL has fined 3 head coaches. Denver's Vic Fangio, Seattle's Pete Carroll, and San Francisco's Kyle Shanahan. $100,000 each for not wearing masks Sunday, and each of their teams another $250,000, sources told ESPN. So that's a little over $1 million in fines for not wearing masks.
Yeah, I don't think the league's messing around with this one.
Wear the masks. I'm sure they're making sure their staff has it on. So, well, I understand you want to pull the mask down and all of that type of stuff, but just wear it. All right, listen, everybody, thanks so much. I know it's an abbreviated show. We'll have 4 hours with you tomorrow from 6 to 10 following Mike. So we'll be back tomorrow at 6 o'clock. So have a great night. We'll have much more to talk about with the birds, plenty to get into, and we will do so from 6 to 10. Tyler Zuli, thanks so much. Really appreciate it. All the callers who got in, all the ones who couldn't get in or hang on, we appreciate you for doing that. Tweets as well. We'll check in with you tomorrow, 6 o'clock, right here on 97.5 The Fanatic. Good night.